Today we're finishing off a series, a three-part series on stewardship, which is basically God is a generous God, and God's given us lots of things, and God lavishes his love on us, and he lavishes gifts on us, and gifts in terms of what we can do with our bodies and our minds, gifts in terms of time, and you might think, oh, I'm a bit time poor at the moment, but gifts in terms of also our finances as well. And this series is about how we're using the gifts that God gives us. How are we honestly using them? Are we using them to the best of our abilities? Are we good stewards of what God has given us? Or are we not? I started by saying thanks and having an attitude of gratitude. And please, as we go through this series, I hope that's the message that you've got first of all. First and foremost is from the ministry of the leaders of the church, we say thank you to you for the time, for the talents, for the treasure that you have given for this church here, for the kingdom of God through working through this church. The second one was about giving and finances. And today we're talking about service. Because we do recognize that there's a lot of people who might not be able to give as much in terms of finances, but they give a lot in terms of their abilities and their time and their serving the church. So that's what we're talking about, is service today. And I didn't turn this on. And we're looking at this passage from 1 Peter. You may have seen this before, maybe you haven't. If you haven't read 1 Peter for a while, I encourage you to read it. It's not very long, not many chapters. You can get through it easily in a half-hour sitting. And 1 Peter was written to a church in Asia Minor, churches there. Some scholars disagree, but generally it's thought that it's written by Peter himself to these churches. It's actually, some say it actually can be used for baptism training, because it goes through quite a lot of different things about how to live as a Christian in a Christian community. The Christian communities that he's writing to here are actually go through waves of persecution, so they're dealing with the challenges of living in a culture, in a world where people don't want them to be Christians. They want to drive that Christianity out of them and for them to live that secular life. Sometimes persecution is actually physical. Otherwise, it's just the kind of persecution that we might experience today as Christians, and maybe in our schools if you're a child, just that sense of isolation, I guess. So this is a great book, a letter from Peter to the churches, saying how to live as a Christian in this world. And towards the end here, he says this. The end of the world is coming, therefore be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. We heard the NIV, and I just thought it's interesting to see some of the differences. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Now, this is really important for today. We've got Hospitality Sunday, and a lot of people are sharing their home. So it says, cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. And some of you might be thinking, well, that means I've been cleaning up all week and getting the house ready. I'm not that cheerful about this anymore. It's a good reminder, isn't it? And actually, if you are going to a home this afternoon for lunch, I have got a series of questions here, just in the message from Benji. Number of questions to lift the conversation to a different level, if you like, of discipleship. So please go through those questions. And I'd love to get some feedback about some of the answers, if you'd like. God's given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve each other. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God was speaking to himself. Do you have the gift of helping each other deal with all the strength and energy that God supplies? And everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. And all glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. If I think about this sermon about serving each other with the strength that God provides, it reminds me of a sermon. You know, sometimes you remember sermons, sometimes you don't, but sometimes you do. And this was a sermon that I heard a long time ago. It was probably about 20 years ago, I would say. And it was at Melbourne Uniting Church. A Ugandan preacher had come to Melbourne. And I remember here in Melbourne, if you've ever been there, there's There's the choir stalls and there's the organ, and you can go right up to the very top. Very rarely do people ever preach from the very top part of it, but you take all the stairs, take the lift almost to the very top. And there was this Ugandan man, and he pounded on his pulpit and he said, "There is a plot of land for you to plow. Go and find that plot of land and plow it." And that's just stuck in my head for some reason. Pretty much exactly like that. But there is a plot of land for you to plow. What's he saying there? What was the message? That God's given us a gift. God's given us a purpose. God's given us abilities. And there is some kind of ministry that God has got prepared for you to do. So just go and do it. That's what he was saying. Serve the church. Serve God. Don't just sit and wait and that I'm going to just wait for a real strong message. Just go and do it. Go and do it. So which one of those lands or plots of lands is your plow? Now, if you look at the Uniting Church, its founding document is the basis of union. And in the basis of union, it says this, that the Uniting Church states that the one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has endowed the members of Christ's church with a diversity of gifts. This is very scriptural. This is very, very Pauline. Paul talks a lot about this, that we all have these different gifts. And you can see it in 1 Peter as well. And that there is no gift without its corresponding service. So you don't get a gift unless there's a place to serve it as well. And all ministries have a part in the ministry of Christ. So you have a gift and use it. And in many ways, my role as a pastor, as a minister of the church, is to help people find their gifts, discover what their gift is, and to make sure there is a corresponding service for that gift. And to breathe life into that and say, go for it. That's what my role really primarily is as a minister. I think that's a great vision to have as a church. You might have noted that passage before starts off with a phrase, that the end of the world is coming. So there was a priest and a pastor, and they're on a corner, a very busy street corner. And they held up signs. One of them had a sign that said, "The end is coming soon." And the other one had a sign that said, "Turn back now." And there was this fast car in a Ferrari who went past there and saw the signs and went, "Oh, these Christians," and gave them the special finger and tooted the special horn and kept driving around the corner really fast. And then you heard a big almighty crash and a splash. And the pastor turns to the priest and says, "Do you think we should change the signs to saying the bridge is out?" The point is that the end is coming soon, is what Peter is saying. Time is precious. Time is precious. And it's limited. And how are we being good stewards of the time that God gives us? If we were to reflect on our week, might we say, "Wow, I really have watched a lot of Netflix this week. Have I been a good steward of my time? Have I been a good steward of the stuff that God has given me?" I want to say three things about serving that are, I think, important to share. Because I suspect that this church, when I've been here now for almost 6 months, I think that actually when it comes to serving, people serve really well here. They have servant hearts. I've seen it. I've seen lots of servant hearts. And there's people that do things that others don't see all the time and in unexpected ways. So in some ways, I'm kind of preaching to the choir. But I think there's some things about serving that are worthwhile picking up here. One is, do we serve with a smile? You know those, when you go to a cafe or something like that, and you can tell if someone's putting on a forced smile, can't you? Like they smile just from the mouth, but not from the eyes. The eyes are like, please let me get out of here. I don't want to be here anymore. It's like half an hour before the end of the shift. This is going so slow. And you go, how are you going? Oh, I'm okay. Would you like fries with that or whatever it is? Service with a smile. You can tell, can't you? You know what I'm talking about. And I think it's the same with us when we're serving the church. You can tell if there's a joy in their service, if they're doing it just because they love doing it. The twinkle in the eye that you saw in Ruth, 60 years of doing netball, that passion was still there. So how can we maintain that passion? I think one of the keys is what it says in this passage from 1 Peter. It says, love each other with a deep love. Notice what Ruth said there. She said, why do you still have that passion? And she talked about the girls. She talked about her love for the girls. It's about the people. Remembering who it's about. It's not so much about the job, but it's about the people. There's another translation. If you look at the translation of that 1 Peter passage in verse 8, it says, love each other not just with a deep love, but at full stretch is the kind of implication. At full stretch. Now, not just that high, but that high as well. Oh, that hurt the calves. Love at full stretch. Don't just fake it, but with a genuine love. Okay. You're never too useless for God. I want to tell you about a story about one of the first church funerals that I did in Port Lincoln. Port Lincoln, a very, very busy parish, and within a month of serving there as a minister, so for those who don't know, I was a minister in Port Lincoln for about 8 years before this, and it was end of February. I get a phone call. And it was a Tuesday morning. Tuesday, I had two funerals to do it at, on the same day. One was a really big church funeral, and the one in the afternoon was a guy called Peter Clarkson, who was an abalone diver who'd been taken by a couple of sharks. So there was a memorial service for that. The police were the TV cameras were involved in that. Fairly, you know, this is my first parish, my third funeral effectively. Quite a big thing to do, but in the morning we celebrated Lorna Dabble's funeral. Now Lorna Dabble, she was 89 years old when she died, and a loved member of the church, and I had managed to visit her once. And she was bedridden for quite a lot of years. She was in a nursing home there, and she actually ran the prayer ministry from her bed. She had one of those old-fashioned phones that had cords on it. And she had a big list of people and her list of prayer people. And she would get, someone would bring in the prayers at the church, and she would then go and ring up the people and tell them what to pray for. She actually had a prayer group and a small group that would meet, I think it was Tuesday mornings, at her bedside. And she would run it from the bedside, from the nursing home. She ran that prayer group. She served until her dying days. And it's something that I've heard Graham Humphreys say a number of times, is that when are you no longer useful for God? When you take your last breath. But even then, you're not. I don't think it's quite like that. But anyway, you get the gist of what I'm saying. You're never too useless for God. I want to finish by talking about long-haul serving. I think there's some roadblocks that get in the way if we've been serving for a while. And there's some stuff that actually sucks us and drains us when it comes to serving the Lord in the church. And I want to address, I could talk about this for a long time, but there's just four things that I want to bring out. One is a sense of lost joy and purpose. That we've done the job so long that we forget why we're doing it, and we've lost that joy. And I've already addressed that a little bit by saying we need to focus on loving each other at full stretch. It also says in this passage, cheerfully share your home. Do it with joy. Do it with all the strength that and energy that God supplies. But I encourage us to just take a step back sometimes, a bit of a wider viewpoint, and go, why am I doing this? What's the purpose? Where are some signs of joy to remind me and keep telling the stories of that? And if you are finding you just don't have much left in your heart, then say, Lord, why is that? Give me a new heart. Refresh my heart, Lord. Let me love your people again. Next one, humility and trust I've got there. I think some of the roadblocks to serving is we sometimes forget who we're doing it for. We forget that it's actually, we're doing it for God. And after we do a job for a long time, we start to actually take on that job as our own identity. Now, I'm speaking from my own experience and from experience from all the other churches that I've been to as well. There was one time where I had about 8 different leaders in key areas resign over about 4 months, all for lots of different reasons, and I've been analysing why that happened. And I think some of it is that we take on the identity of the job, and we forget that we, as we sung right at the start of this service, that, what was it? I am a child of God, isn't it? I am a child of God. That's primarily identity. And if you, here's a little clue. If you start talking about the job that you're doing as my ministry, this is Benji's ministry, or you hear people saying that's Benji's ministry, then that's a little trigger to go, actually, I think I've forgotten who I'm doing it for. This is God's ministry. It's not Benji's ministry. And I have the privilege of being involved in what God is already doing. The trouble is that if we take on God's ministry and we take it on ourselves, then we start to think that it all rises and falls with us, not with God. Can you see that? That we start to think that no one will ever replace us. That I'm so important in this role, even. Now, if you're thinking that, then you're not alone. There's a guy in the Bible, and if you were to read the election reading for this week, you'd see Elijah and Elisha. The story of Elijah. Elijah, he was this quite depressive prophet, actually. Quite an amazing prophet, did some amazing things. But at one stage, he's actually sees God, and has this great experience of God. But in that great experience, God says, you know, what's going on, Elijah, in your life? And Elijah says, I really don't want to be here anymore. I want my life to be taken away, actually. He's that depressed. And he says, I'm so alone in what I'm doing. I'm paraphrasing here. I'm the only prophet. I'm the only one that worships you. I'm the only one that cares. If I die, no one's going to replace me. He's taken on that ministry. He's forgotten his identity in Christ in many ways. And what does God say? He goes, well, I'll read it to you. So Elijah said, I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. And the Lord said, go back to the way you came. Go back to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king of Aram, and anoint another person, and then anoint Elisha and from a son as you, to succeed you as prophet. And then as you keep reading, you'll see that there's actually quite a lot of other prophets around the place. He'd forgotten that they're there. God supplies a replacement, and the lectionary reading is the passing of the mantle from Elijah to Elisha. That it was never Elijah's ministry only. He was only doing it for God, to give God the glory. And he'd forgotten that, and God supplied a replacement for him. If it's really that important to God, God will provide a replacement. I'll keep moving on. Third one, know your gift without jealousy. I put without jealousy, and that's speaking again from experience here, my own personal experience. I think sometimes we find ourselves in gifted areas, and we're actually not gifted for that. We're probably gifted in another area. Now, that is really hard to either tell someone that they're gifted in another area, or to hear that yourself, or to acknowledge that yourself. That is really challenging. Why? Because it's quite personal, isn't it? And you really think that you have this ministry and you're praying for it, and then you realize that actually you're supposed to be somewhere else. That's really humbling, isn't it? But we need to go, you know, Lord, I want to do your will and not my will. So we need to work out what our gift is and to revel in that. And Paul talks a lot about the gifts being like the body of Christ, and there's people that are eyes, there's people that are ears, people that are livers, and all the other bits and pieces, and none is more important than the other. They're all important. They all make the body work. So don't have one gift and go, I really wish I could preach like Benji. I shouldn't have said that. But you know what I'm talking about here. And I know that I've been caught myself sometimes with jealousy of other people's gifts. And I just have to go, no, I'm part of something bigger. And it's not all about me. It's about us in the body of Christ working together. And I need to love and encourage those other gifts of others. Finally, I want to talk about rest and work. I think sometimes we get to burn out because we're doing too much, because we don't use that lovely word that only takes two letters, and it's no. And quite often we're working to rest rather than working from our rest, if that makes sense. We need to work from our rest. If you think about God created the world in 7 days, and what day did God create Adam and Eve? Or God create humanity? On the sixth day, yeah. So what was their first day? For Adam and Eve, their first day was the Sabbath. Yeah, it was a rest day. It wasn't a work day. So God created humanity to, first of all, rest. Isn't that interesting? So they rested and then they worked from their rest. God creates us and then goes, now, just revel in the creation. Recreate. Just imagine and play and love this relationship with each other and with the Lord. And then out of that, you do your work. So I think we need to keep in mind that God wants that for us. And if we want to give God the glory, and we want to serve God, then we'll follow what he's got for us, his perfect plan for us, which is to work from our rest. Does that make sense? Yeah? I hope that's helpful for you. I know it was certainly helpful for me to go through this. So I've got just four things that might be some actions for you. First of all, write down your purpose. Look for the joy that in the work that you're doing. Tell the stories of joy. Secondly, is to change our language and talk about God's ministry, not our ministry. Catch it out in other people too. We serve out of the grace that God has given us. Thirdly, be happy with your gift. And if you don't know what your gift is, then there's online things. Pray about it. Ask friends about it. Talk about it in your small group. Maybe talk about it over lunchtime. Come and talk to me about it. And fourthly, schedule breaks. Take a Sabbath rest. And finally, look at Jesus. Jesus is the great example of how to serve. It says, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. Let me pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you that you are a servant-hearted God. Now, Jesus didn't come on this earth for us to do everything for him, but he came to wash our feet, to feed us, to cook meals on the beach, to heal us, to speak to us, to help us, to restore our souls by the still, still waters. Thank you, Lord, that you serve us. Thank you that you give each one of us a purpose, that there is a plot of land for us to plow. Well, the time is short. Help us to discover what our gift is and to serve with cheerfulness, with love, with a deep love. And Lord, when it comes to serving, and if we are someone who has taken on a ministry and that's become our identity, we're sorry for that, Lord. Remind us that we are children of God. We are loved by you, not for what we do, but just simply for who we are. And Lord, we also confess our jealousy at times of others. Lord, refresh our hearts, restore us. Help us to know the forgiveness and the grace that is found in Jesus Christ, when he gave his life as a ransom for many. And to be restored and encouraged. Breathe your Holy Spirit energy into us so that we can serve you with all our might, with the might that you give us, with the energy that you give us, so that this church and churches of Australia and around the world can be the hope of the world, can see people coming to faith, see kids and young people knowing the joy and the peace that can be found in Jesus and the healing. We pray this in Jesus' name.